If you're curious about how you can get more sales and more revenue into your company, you're going to want to listen to this episode. I'm going behind the scenes, y'all. I'm going to share a little bit of my own story and why I decided to niche my business coaching work in sales, because there is an interesting backstory behind how I got here. And I hope that from you hearing this story, you're going to learn some ahas about sales for your own company and walk away with a few ideas and a few tools that can probably help you figure out how you can bring in more money, and with the key being without having to add a ton of extra work to your plate in order to be able to do it. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and definitely if you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast so that you can be the first to know when I drop new episodes and new content on this topic. So hi everyone, my name is Maya Haridat. If we have not met before, I'm a business coach and speaker, and I help entrepreneurs uncover what they don't know that they don't know about running successful businesses. And that theme of what you don't know, that's a big one for me. I've encountered it myself in my own business. I recall a number of years ago, I was looking at my own business and realized that, you know what? I'm hitting a brick wall right now in my company. I love the work that I do. I enjoy the clients that I'm working with, but the money's not coming in the same way that it used to come in. And just to give you a little bit behind the scenes on that, I started my company working for and serving other businesses. So I would work with conferences, event planners, nonprofits, schools, a host of different types of clients. And I would deliver programming on entrepreneurship education. I worked a lot with young people in the early days. And then as my company started to grow, I worked with a combination of both young people and adults. And it was always these big programs that we were putting on where I'd be hiring a team of people to deliver it, from both the operations side as well as individual facilitators or trainers, you know, coming with new ideas and concepts to be able to deliver the programs with. It was always a really, really engaging and exhilarating type of experience. But over time, I noticed this really interesting thing start to happen. And what happened was that clients were starting to want to work with me, but they weren't paying the same amounts that they used to pay before. Which if you think about it, is kind of funny. The more experience that I got and the better that I got at the work, the less money my company was making. And, you know, I at some point just kind of was like, this doesn't really work. Like, I got to figure out something else and identify where my opportunities are at. And I would give you a quick pause here to highlight for many of you right now. One of the big tough questions that you've got to do in business on a regular basis is you want to address, is the business model you're working with right now, does it actually serve your customers, both your current and your prospective customers? Does it serve them really well? And does it serve your business really well? Like, are you doing well with the way that you're actually delivering your products and services? Because sometimes you have to go back to the drawing board and rethink, maybe the business model that I'm using is not really the best model. It's not profitable. I'm not working with the types of clients that I want to work with, like kind of what's going on here. Now, on my end, I love the clients that I work with, you know, even the ones that were tough to work with. I really enjoyed working with them. And I definitely loved the work that I did. And I know it was valuable and I know people enjoyed it. But over time, just the industry started changing on how they spend money. And people wanted me to come in and do, you know, 1 hour or 2 hour types of things versus the large scale programs that I had done in the past where most of my revenue had come from. So I started exploring this theme of, well, what if I was in coaching, right? And I focused on business coaching, which would be a natural foray for me. I've done a lot of work at that point where I had taught a number of 30 hour and 40 hour, you know, intro to entrepreneurship classes for continuing ed programs. I had done it as well for different state or city agencies that are trying to boost economic development within an area. And so I kind of had a good handle as to how to be able to do that. But I had never really worked directly with individual clients, right? I've always worked with larger companies, B2B. I'd never really worked B2C. So I started exploring and going to events for entrepreneurs myself. Now, in my work, I've always gone to events for entrepreneurs because it's always been part of the work that I've done. But this time it was a little different. I was going for myself to learn and like, okay, what is it that I'm missing? What else do I need to know? What types of tips and information do I need to get? And this really fascinating trend showed up after going to, I don't know, I'd probably say like 10 or 15 events, right? I started getting really, really frustrated when I would go into these events. And I'll tell you why. the events themselves for entrepreneurs, they were always in like these really swanky locations. The guest speakers were amazing. They had great backstories. They were really inspirational and motivational. But I was frustrated because I wanted a specific how-to, and none of these types of programs were providing it. So you might even have, you know, a speaker talking on something tactical like social media, for example, right? And, you know, how do you get started in X in social media, right? Whatever the platform of the day is, and how do you get started with that? And they would teach you, you know, how to get on the platform and some best practices of using it. But the real question that I wanted to know, and to be frank, I think everyone there in the audience wanted to know, was, okay, great. Now, how do I actually make money from that platform? Like, I don't want to spend 60 hours on anything and I'm not going to see the ROI come out of it. And when I started really stepping back and pulling back the covers on this, I realized that in a lot of cases, events for entrepreneurs, programs, even TV shows for entrepreneurs or things online, there's a huge gap between giving you the content and the ideas that are going to inspire and motivate you, right? And also provide you with some basic information, which that's critical. I mean, we all need those types of things. I always want to get education, right? And then the real things that move the needle that make you money in your business. Now, to be 1,000% fair, when I've stepped back now a number of years later, I can see that part of what the big challenge has always been is a lot of events for entrepreneurs are not being organized by entrepreneurs. So if you get a room of entrepreneurs together just for general networking, you start talking with them, and I don't care if they're earning $10,000 or, you know, $20 million, eventually entrepreneurs in a room are going to start talking about sales, and they're going to start talking about revenue and how did you do X and how did you do Y. But if you are attending a lot of things that are not being organized by entrepreneurs, and I think it's hard sometimes to know that, you may not realize that a lot of the things that you're getting, while they're really, really helpful, right? And they're absolutely amazing. Like, who doesn't want to meet the person who started, you know, $100 million company and get a little bit of their, you know, let their motivation and their ideas rub off on you, right? Like, you want to hear the backstory, you want to hear the case studies. But a lot of times, the real information that's going to move the needle forward is not being covered. And I think one year that I was delivering one of my 30-hour programs, I remember going through the curriculum, and I realized we were going to spend 30 hours covering how to write a business plan, right? Which I think is really critical. When you're getting a business started, you want to think through all the steps that you need to know about of how to get a business started. And I knew that in that class, there'd also be a number of people that already had businesses started, you know, already, which was great too. Like, what are the fundamentals you maybe you didn't know when you first came in? I realized in a 30-hour program, I was going to have to spend only 30 minutes on sales. And I remember being in shock when I realized that I'm like, wait a minute, I'm going to spend all of this time going through legal structures, going through financials and how to deal with the financial statements and how do you do basic bookkeeping and marketing, like what is marketing and how do you get it set up when you're first getting started and how do you get your website, all of these critical topics. But let's keep it real, y'all. If you're in business, you're in business to make money. And the way you make money is sales. And so if I'm only spending 30 minutes the way the curriculum is outlined on sales for a 30-hour program, maybe this is part of what the problem is. Now, fast forward to today, I can actually put what I was experiencing at that time into words because I really couldn't even articulate it at that time. And I think what the challenge is that for a lot of places and spaces that are here to serve entrepreneurs, there's an assumption that sales is just going to happen. There's an assumption, well, if your marketing is really good and if you have a clear understanding of who your target market is, you have a really hot product or service that's, you know, on trend with what people want to buy and they have the money to spend and, you know, you've done all your due diligence about getting your insurance and your legal structure and all those things started, there is kind of this thought or this take that, well, the sales will come. And yet every entrepreneur that I know, everyone that started a business understands that's just not how it works. Now, I want to make a quick distinction here. If you are currently operating your business right now in freelancer mode, meaning you take projects as people present them to you, or you use an app like a platform like an Uber or an Instacart or Upwork, any of the platforms where those platforms send jobs to you, that actually may be the truth for many of you, is that your sales is just really based upon the number of hours you can work and put in, because you don't have to really hunt for the sale. The sale very often comes to you, and people approach you and say, hey, are you interested in doing this project? Or you even just bid on saying, hey, I want to do that project. But when you're really ready to start ramping up your numbers, when you start ready to move past those, some of those dollar amounts that you can earn as a freelancer, and you're really ready to solve bigger problems and solve bigger challenges with your company, you actually got to figure out the sales piece in your business for yourself. And that piece is often not being discussed and taught. Now, I will be the first to say that when I figured out this thing about sales, I got really nervous, because my concern with sales is that I'm not, you know, I've never been at the $1 million round table like I hear in the insurance industry or the real estate industry, where I've sold a gazillion dollars, you know, of whatever product or services that I'm selling. I've done well, and I've had a business successfully for a number of years, but I've never made it to that, like, ooh, I'm the sales guru level. And I guess after talking to a number of people in my classes, I did quite a few hours of technical assistance and coaching for the entrepreneurs in the programs that I was working in, I started to realize that is important. And there is definitely room and space for the people that can give you very, very specific tactical parts of the sales process and how you can set it up to your advantage. But for a lot of people, especially people that are trying to get to that first six figures, or they're trying to get to that first seven figures, you may not necessarily need to hear from someone that's been at the $1 million roundtable that's like this sales expert. You actually may need to hear some tools and advice and get insights on how to do it at the level you're at, right? And here's where I'm going with this. For far too many people, we will sell based upon the ability that we have to sell, and then we can't move further. And here's what I mean by that. If you were to go out and try to start a business today or tomorrow, right, in whatever industry and selling whatever product or service, I promise you, you're going to get some initial sales coming in. You're going to get some friends and family that are going to want to support you. You'll come up with some ideas of like, hey, I need to show up at this event or this pop-up shop or this type of venue, or, you know, I need to be networking in this space and I'll find prospective people to kind of work with. You'll figure out how to get some initial sales coming in. The real challenge is, how do you get past that number that you can do by yourself and you can do on your own? And I started noticing a trend over time that for a lot of people, there's usually a number, it's usually pretty typical around where your last salary was, that you'll figure out how to get to that point in your business. You will figure out how to make that type of money, assuming, of course, you don't have something that's, you know, the next greatest, latest thing that everyone absolutely has to have and they're trying to find you. You'll figure out for most people how to build a business to a certain dollar amount, but you can't figure out how to get it past that number. And then that's where this work around sales really comes in. So I started talking to a few people and just experimenting and testing it out in my own business, working with a few clients. And I realized the missing link for a lot of people is creating a sales plan, where you just basically sit down and outline, how am I going to get sales coming into my company? What does that actually look like? And then what are the numbers that matter to me as an entrepreneur? So a quick example, and I talk about this more the last episode that I just did when I got sick, is that in my company, I know the number of proposals that I need to send out, and I know the number of asks that I need to make for my B2B clients. And I gotta tell you, I'm giving you that as a synopsis, but that's actually a really, really tricky thing in my world, because I can easily spend, you know, hours upon hours doing the client work and working on the deliverables I need to for the clients, and not spending time prospecting and looking for new clients. It's very easy to get caught up in that trap, especially when you have, you know, if I sign two or three contracts right now and clients are like, yeah, and I'm going to work with you for the next 6 months or the next year or whatever, whatever, I'm on easy street. No, I'm not. You have to always be prospecting. You have to always find a way to be looking for new clients to work with, because it is so easy to have those clients leave you for whatever reason. And sometimes, you know, most of the time when my clients leave, it's never because I did something wrong. It's they don't have budget anymore. They're not focusing on this type of project or something like that, but it leaves me in the lurch. So you understanding how the numbers that you need to track for to keep your business going, right? It's not just how much money you have in your bank account right here, today, tomorrow, but also what you need to project for in the future. And how do you set your time up, your calendar up, your resources up to support that type of growth? That really is what the sales plan is all about. And that's why I started recognizing that for a lot of people, I don't need to coach them on how to make the sale per se, but there's a lot of work that many of us have to do on understanding what are the numbers that my business needs to focus on? Like, what's going to be important for my specific company? And listen, if you're going to buy a franchise, they'll give you the numbers. They'll tell you upfront what it is. But for a lot of us, we want the independence. We want the autonomy to create our own business. Well, great. But guess what? Now you got to create your own numbers. You got to create your own metrics. You have to create your own, you know, things that you're looking at around the ROI so that you know if you're on track or not. And the worst thing in the world you could do is to look into your bank account right now and use that as the gauge to say, oh, well, I'm doing really great. Because typically the money in your bank account right now is what you've worked on in the past. So I started recognizing that there might be this lane, this opportunity to help people really understand sales plans. And I launched my first program. I started doing this group coaching program called Crush Your Sales Plan during the pandemic. And whoa, I had no idea how many people really had this big question and how much opportunity really lied in terms of trying to figure out, like, how do we support people create their own customized sales plans? In the middle of doing this, though, there was also this other big aha that happened. And I want to share the real reason why I know that I'm going to stay in sales for a while. And again, I am not the one that has made a gazillion dollars in the work that I've done, but there's an area that very often is not being talked about that I think is just as critical, maybe even more critical than how much money have you made and, oh, teach me your ways, oh, wise one. We have to have spaces and places where when you mess up and make mistakes in sales, you have a safe space to kind of talk through what happened. And I recall the first time that this happened. It happened in my group, probably, I want to say maybe the second or the third time around that I did the program. We were having a share where everyone was kind of sharing what was showing up in their business. And one of the participants happened to share a sales call that she was on, and she got really, really frustrated with the sales call. And you know, she's talking to the client and he figures out halfway through the conversation, this is not going to be the person that I want to work with. He's rude. He's abrasive, you know, fill in the blank with all of these different things that she didn't want to be bothered with. Rightfully so, as we were hearing the conversation. But this was the challenge. She told the client on the phone no, but the real challenge is she needed the client work. She needed the money coming in the door. And she felt really, really deflated, even though she knew she did the right thing. There was still this like lingering, like, but did I really do the right thing? Because I really, really need the money in my business. And like, maybe I could have just tolerated working with this client for a period of time. And I have to tell you, it happened like on cue. I didn't do anything. I wish I could take credit. I really can't. It was just the group and the group dynamic. They immediately went in and supported this participant who was sharing and pointing out all of the reasons why working with that client would have been a much bigger problem than what it initially showed up as. So yes, the person is toxic and they're hard to be able to deal with. And the big takeaway that I remember from that conversation was that people pointed out, while she's dealing with this toxic client, she's also gonna have no energy to go after other clients, other future clients that might even pay more money or might, and of course, be a better fit than this individual. And so it's better to take the short-term loss and then go out there and find other clients that are a better fit and that would also be more in alignment with the type of values that she has. So we're having this conversation and I remember listening to everyone at one point in time and I'm like, wow, what would have happened if she didn't have the opportunity to come to this space and really unpack what happened? And I want to be clear. Sometimes you want to unpack what happens and you just need to vent. You need to like, you're frustrated. You're like, this happened. I can't believe it happened. And you need just a space to do that. But other times, what I think really smart entrepreneurs recognize is you need a place to unpack and vent. But then it has to be a place where it gives you the ability to recreate your strategy for moving forward. And I would argue it's kind of hard to do that in isolation. I mean, maybe there are some geniuses or some gurus out there that can pull it off, but I think being in a safe space and in a container where there are some guidelines and some structures and some boundaries set up can support you in figuring that out. And the big aha that I had after hearing her have this conversation was that we were able to not only help her unpack what happened, but I'm also crystal clear, she had a much quicker recovery time from that really bad sales call than she would have had if she had done it by herself, right? Imagine having had that same experience happen and it's just you. And then now it's really easy to get really mopey for a couple of days about like, well, did I do the right thing? And not have the place and space to unpack what happened. So I recognize that for a lot of people, that this conversation about safe space and sales, you may never have heard of it before in your life. And you're like, Maya, please, I just need the money coming in. Yeah, you do need the money coming in, but you also need a place to unpack all the different possible scenarios that are going to happen. The client who is going to put you through hurdles in order to be able to get you onboarded to be able to pay. The client who's giving you a new type of project for you to work on that you've never done before, right? And the money is, it's okay, but it's like, well, do I take it? Do I not take it? Like, what makes sense? What about if you've had multiple sales calls, multiple discovery calls back to back, and you're not closing, right? Like, what's going on here? Why am I not making money? Why am I not getting people to say yes to what my offer is? And there could be a whole host of reasons. I know a lot of times we like to think, well, I just need to have a better closed script so that I'm able to kind of, you know, get this person to a yes quicker. Sometimes that is the case, and you may not have a process at all. And I do a lot of work of helping people figure out what their actual process is. But a lot of times that's not necessarily the case. There's a deeper issue that's showing up, and you need a place to be able to really unpack what that is and figure it out for yourself. So when I realized that sales was going to be the area that I was going to focus in, listen, I've had a ton of concerns and hesitations about it because, like I said, I haven't made a gazillion dollars in my business just yet, and I can't demonstrate that just yet through sales. But I can tell you now, a few years later, the value of being able to write a sales plan and figure out your projections, especially when you're going to get busy, has been so incredible for a number of entrepreneurs that I've worked with. And I definitely can't state enough the value of having that safe space, that place and that container where you can just take off all the makeup and all the, like, you know, how you have to show up in the world and just be real and be honest with a fellow group of entrepreneurs that are not going to judge because we're all having that same experience and we all get it in terms of how things show up. There's one final piece that also has occurred to me about the value of niching the work that I do within sales. And I offer this to some of you right now whose businesses are either in growth mode or you know you're going to hit a growth mode very soon. One of the biggest challenges, I think, for a lot of entrepreneurs is the big question of, well, when do I hire, right? When is the time that I bring staff on? And, you know, there's all different schools of thought as to how that works of when you bring employees on. But I want to give you this. I don't want to go down the HR rabbit hole on that one. I do want to give you this aha and this insight, which I think is so critical for you with the sales piece. If you don't have your sales dialed in, meaning if you don't have clear sales processes of how you go from one step to the next in your business to actually close a client and get them onboarded, and then if you also don't have a very clear structured sales plan, you're going to run into major issues when you hire your first employee. And I don't care if you're hiring a contractor for a short-term project, you're going to run into some scenarios and really get really frustrated with that, okay? So I want to emphasize that doing this work now is also that thing that's actually going to allow you to grow. It's going to allow you to set your business up for success moving forward because you're going to have a very clear way of going back and understanding what your goals were, what your numbers were in your business. And look, I'll just give you, just for the sake of time, I'll make it super short, but I'll give you a real example. You know, I worked with an entrepreneur recently and she's debating about whether she should keep an employee on her team or not. And, you know, it was kind of funny. She looked back at her own notes around some of the work she had done and some of the sales she had done and the numbers she had set when she was in the role, right? And then she hired someone to take over a very interesting role within her company. And then now she's looking at the numbers that the employee is bringing in and they don't match, y'all. And there's some really clear patterns that are showing up with the numbers not matching. That makes it easier now to make a decision for her. And to be frank, I'm not even saying that she needs to necessarily let the person go, but now there, at least there's a benchmark. There's a way of being able to kind of better assess rather than just making this gut feeling of like, I like the person, I don't like the person. You have a way of kind of giving that person a much more clear guidance and the feedback that they'll need to be able to deliver so that this person can now actually, you know, live up to what the role actually looks like versus it just saying, hey, I want you to do this. And then there's no clear guidance or guidelines around how to be able to do that. So I hope that my own story on unpacking how I got to this place has given you some ideas and some insights. And listen, moving forward, I don't think that I see sales as being an area that is going to get the attention that it deserves. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I don't think it necessarily has to be this hot and sexy space, although, you know, getting large checks in your company is never a bad thing. Let me put that out there for the record. I believe in, you know, us getting money into our company. But I am going to encourage you to really be thoughtful and intentional around how sales shows up currently right now in your business. Do you actually plan time in your calendar on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis around selling? And when you're doing that, what are you actually doing? Is it moving the needle forward to bring in more revenue within your company? And therefore, if you haven't, listen, you know, I'm a fan of this. Sit down and work out a sales plan. Work out, how do I bring this money in? What's the goal that I want? How do I bring it in? And then make sure you're finding a space for yourself where you can kind of unpack some of the day-to-day things that might show up in your business around sales, and then how to be able to process them moving forward. So I hope that this episode was super helpful. It gave you some ideas and insights, and wishing you all the best in your business.